sometimes I'm scrubbing out a bottle at the kitchen sink, and I'm just like, I'm running bath water. The kid's not in it yet. If you can put him in and get this going, we can get bedtime going faster. You know, like, just jump in, buddy. And so this greeting from behind my back rather than this greeting of full embrace. But the truth is, how we welcome each other back into our space sets the tone for the rest of the time together.
That's Becky Thompson describing some of the challenges that women face in a pretty common tug of war between being a great mom and being a great and loving wife, and you might know that challenge. Becky joins us today on Focus on the Family, and your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller.
John, we've heard from many women who struggle with that balance. This might be one of the core things, certainly in a young married couple's life, where the kids are pulling on mom and, you know, dad, husband needs some time with you. This is going to touch your soul. And we have a wonderful guest to talk about it. The fact is, kids are needy. They need a lot of attention. They need a mom and a dad, frankly, who's engaged with them, taking care of their needs. And it's wonderful. I tell you, I've got two teens now, 17 and 15. It gets better with time. Every stage is a good stage.
Good.
One time a parent said that to me, and I love that. You know, it wasn't, yeah, you know, I loved it when they were 8, but now that they're 18, not so much. I like that attitude of enjoy every stage, because God's given you children as a blessing, not as a curse. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about how to manage this tug of war a bit better. And I know you're going to be equipped with answers today.
Yeah, and Becky is a blogger, author, and speaker, and she works to help women find hope and healing and God's love. And she had a little blog that back in 2014 went from 1,000 followers to over 1.5 million.
That's impressive.
It is. And so she's having quite an impact. And she's captured some of her wisdom and perspectives in a book called Love Unending, Rediscovering Your Marriage in the Midst of Motherhood. And Becky became a work-at-home mom when her first child was born. And now she and her husband, Jared, have 3 young children.
Hey, Becky, welcome to Focus.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be with you guys.
Yeah, it's fun. That right there, that idea, I could feel women, wives, mothers going, yeah, really, time for my husband, right? So let's just go right there. I mean, this to me is one of the core problems, partly because I've experienced that as a husband. I'm sure, John, you did too. And wives. I mean, and, you know, moms are saying, how do I find the time to balance all this? So let's just go right there for a second and describe that feeling for maybe for all the husbands listening.
Right.
Here's what your wife is going through.
Well, you know, it's different in every home, and I think it's important to say from the beginning that, you know, what happens at my house might not be the setup in every home. But for me, as a stay-at-home mom of 3 young children, I'm in it. I'm in it all day long. I've got somebody that always needs something, and they're all different ages, and so they all need something different. And when I finally have a moment to catch my breath and jump right back into it, you know, I'm just looking for my husband to come home. I'm looking for his help. And when he walks through the door, all I can do is cheer and be so grateful that help has arrived.
Hmm. And did he see it the same way?
No. You know, my sweet husband, he works so hard. But when
he was tired?
He
was only working.
Just surprised, right? So, but you know, when I'm in the middle of my struggle and he's in the middle of his struggle, we both need a place to fall. We need a place to rest. And, you know, when we want to lean on each other, when we want to pull from each other, but neither of us have much left to give, you know, what do we do? Where do we go from there? And I think that's the real issue. You know, one day back in 14, when I was starting my blog, I sat down and I wrote this little post, and I wrote it late at night, and my husband had come home and I was so exhausted and we had just hit the ground running, taking care of these kids from the moment he walked in the door, you know, dinner, cleaning up dinner, bath time, bedtime, that I looked at him and I realized we hadn't said hello to each other. I hadn't said
been
hello.
There,
I mean, it was just sort of there. It was like, you take this, I'll take this. You know, we just did it. But I sat down at the computer and I said, you know, I wish in the beginning that somebody had said, when the kids come along, you have to fight and cling together. You know, not fight with each other, fight with each other.
Yeah, but for each other.
Right, alongside each other.
You know, the key there, it, to some, and that sounds exhausting again, mm-hmm. one more task thing on right. the list. Going back to that blog post, you were doing mostly fashion stuff on your
right.
blog, and that's why you're hitting that resounding 1,000 people
right.
watching.
Right.
I'm sure it was great fashion advice, but that little blog that you did on something deeper,
right.
more personal, maybe
right.
more tender,
right.
you know, has anybody figured this out? That's when you got... Oh, you know, like 1 million people respond?
Exactly.
That's crazy.
So I published it at midnight, and I said, you know, I just wish someone had told us to cling to each other. I pushed publish on the article, woke up the next morning, and my site was crashing. And I just thought, you know, my little blog was just having site maintenance issue. I thought that was going to be a real good post. It's a shame that they're doing server maintenance today. And I logged in, and there were 7,000 people on the website at that exact moment, and people were clicking share, and people were contacting me. You've written my life out. I wish someone had told me any of this. What's the answer?
Well, why such a nerve? I mean, that is the obvious question. What nerve were you touching, and why were women responding in that way?
You know, I think we forget to see each other in it. We forget to see that he has these deep needs because we're so busy meeting these needs right in front of us. And when he comes home, we either, you know, or when we come home from work, whatever that dynamic looks like, when we come back together, it's almost as if we want our husbands not to need us. I have been so needed, I said in this post, that I need him to just be okay. I need him to just not need me to do anything for him because it's this extra burden.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. But, you know, men sometimes we're very compartmentalized in our thought process. Mm-hmm. So you got to kind of hit us between the eyes on this.
Right.
What does that mean? I mean, right. if I come home and say, mm-hmm. hey, honey, give me a kiss.
Don't touch me.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the practical aspect of it. Don't tug
that
on
means.
Me physically. Don't, you know, don't expect anything.
Right.
But what are you saying? I mean, because that can be the husband's going, what have I done?
And
we take it personally.
Exactly,
like, what did I do?
Exactly. And I think there's this level of guilt that comes over moms when we realize that we cannot pay attention physically. We cannot pay as much attention to our husbands as we did before the children came into the picture. We just have these, especially in young motherhood, these small children who you can't say, I'm going to need you to stop crying right now so I can have an important conversation with daddy. It's almost like we just want our husbands to understand that we wished we could have the relationship that we had before the children came along.
Oh, it's so true.
We wished. Yeah.
And I think in some cases, that's why dad goes and he watches the news.
Exactly.
And, you know, Gina and I have been there
right.
where she'll have to grab me and say, we need to connect. And I'm going, well, I was ready. I was just watching news, waiting for you to put the kids down
right.
or something like that.
Right.
And you do begin to grow apart. That's what growing apart is like.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the Gordian knot.
Okay.
The Gordian knot in ancient history is the knot that can't be undone. There's no solution to this knot. And it's mythology. But I love that idea because there's no way to solve this. It's about just finding general balance. And I remember stepping in the door, you know, after having a hard day at work and having, if I could say it, I felt like Jean didn't understand what my day was all about. She was exhausted because she'd been taking care of two kids mm-hmm. that are only 2 years apart. So 5 and 3, you can figure it out. And I'd pop in the door and she'd go, take them. That was hello.
Here.
Take them. And it's not, that's not negative toward Jean at all, but she was desperate to get some time to just recharge.
Breathe.
And I'm in the same spot going, I just need 10 minutes. Give me 15 minutes
right.
to change my clothes. Let me,
right.
you know, I'll go play with them in the basement. I'll do what I can.
Right.
But you got to begin to set those terms
exactly.
as a couple, don't you? And hear what I'm saying. Don't be offended,
mm-hmm.
both from the wife's perspective as well as the husband.
Right, exactly. So we just need to give each other space. And then we need to, like I said, fall into each other almost.
Yeah.
So we become like this lean-to. I'm going to need to lean on you and you're going to need to lean on me. But really, we both need to lean on the Lord in this season more than ever.
Oh, I love that. You have a story about your dad and the role he played in helping you better understand all of this. What transpired and how did your dad help you figure out some of this?
So here's what happened. After I wrote that blog post that went viral, I had all of these women, and by all of these, I mean thousands of messages from women saying, yes, it would have been wonderful if people had told us from the beginning to cling to each other, to have grace for each other, to lean on each other and lean on the Lord. But what do we do now? Like two lines pointed slightly away from each other, even over these last 2 years, we've gotten farther and farther apart. Where do we turn to come back together? What is the strategy for that? And I would simply reply, yeah, I don't know. I said it was a problem. You know?
I'm not the expert.
Exactly.
Okay, you can tell me.
Can you, if you find out, let me know. But it just sort of became this resounding question in my spirit. There has to be an answer. And so late one night, I sat at my parents' house. I was very pregnant with our third child. I was 8 months pregnant. I think it helps to know that I live very far away from the hospital we would need to deliver our baby. So there was a long period of time that we were staying with my parents while my husband stayed in our small town and worked. And my parents have been married for nearly 40 years now. And my dad is this remarkable man who, you know, I just have never really heard him raise his voice to my mom or just speak poorly to her. And there's always just been this kindness, but I didn't understand really the root of it, other than the love of Christ. But, you know, I didn't understand really what his perspective was. There had to be something, right? And so I said, Dad, what do I do? What do I tell these women? I don't even know. You know, three kids coming. Jared and I just seem to be moving farther and farther apart. What is the answer? And I will never forget, he looked over his shoulder to make sure my mom wasn't listening. And I was like, what kind of family secret are you about to share with me? Because I feel like it would have been beneficial 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, what have you been keeping to yourself, Dad? And he leans in and he says, every morning I wake up and I tell myself that it's the first day I'm married to your mom. And I thought, that is profound and amazing. And it took me a minute to sort of process through really my childhood. I'm flashing back to all of their conversations and all of these things. And I'm thinking, he did. He treated her like she was his brand new bride every morning. But I'm comparing that to the life that I'm currently living with my husband. And I'm thinking, I got a long way back to day one, if you know what I mean. I've got a long way back to living this advice of treating it like it's the first day, because I have this list. And I think if we're all honest, we have these lists that we've been keeping in our heart where last night I put the kids to bed and you didn't help. You know what? Tonight it's you. Or, you know, you didn't handle that situation the way I wish you would have handled that situation. And I'm still a little, you know, I have a little bit of unforgiveness about that.
Is this the title for this list is the list of resentment?
You know, it could be.
Yeah.
It really could be.
I mean, that's what I hear. And I get that. And then you both build that list up.
Exactly.
Husband and wife.
And it becomes a you should and I should, but
right.
You should, and you know, and it goes back and forth. But if each day was the first day that we fell in love, and each day was the day you're walking towards your husband about to live the rest of your lives together and still dreaming for everything it could be, there would be no day before that you had to forgive, because it would start over fresh each day. It would be a clean slate each day. We would just be looking at our husbands and they would just be looking at their bride.
Becky, that sounds great, but it also sounds like maybe
impossible.
So far away. That it's impossible emotionally. I love your dad's attitude that he could say, every day I wake up believing this is the first day I've been married to your mom. That's beautiful. But a lot of us are going, wow,
where
how do
start?
I get there?
Right.
Because you know what? A lot of stuff went down over the last 10 years
exactly.
That I don't wake up with that sterling, shiny emotion now. It's not like the first day. It's like day 5,643. And it doesn't feel like day one.
You know, I think we have to decide that we're not going to wait on our spouse to do it first. We're
going to. That's big.
Right?
Yeah,
because,
that's big.
You know, as wives, we just want our husband. You know, I can't speak for every wife, but for myself, I want my husband to want to rescue me still from my life. I want him to still sweep in after his long day and say, my bride, how can I help you? When the reality is, he's also exhausted, and you know that moment might not come. It might never come, and it might just be this simple moment that my husband can lean back into, and we can, you know, get going again. But the truth is, Scripture says that because God first loved us, because he first loved us, we have the ability to love. And so I'm not actually responding to this love I don't feel from my husband. I can respond to my Heavenly Father's love toward my husband.
Becky, what I'm hearing too is that you're in year 10, 11, 12 of your marriage. Your dad and mom are in year 35, 36, and now 40 years. You learn these things over time. And I wonder how many young wives do come from a good home where they saw their dad loving their mom, but maybe didn't see him in years 5, 7, 8, 9.
Right.
Because they weren't here yet, or they were so little they wouldn't remember. You learn to do this over time. And I wonder about that idea of the expectation. Right. Did you and Jared ever talk and say, did you say to him, have you looked at my mom and dad's relationship? Jared, that's what I want. And him going, yeah, okay. But not being able to deliver. He's a young man. He's learning these things.
You know,
and maybe you not being able to deliver.
You know, in reality, I never said, this is what my parents did. I just said, you know, I wished you would.
Okay.
Isn't that dangerous?
No, but I love the vulnerability. It's a desire of your heart. I'm sure he panicked.
Well, and he would say the same thing to me. Well, you know that, but I would if you would, you know, and these are all fill in the blanks, and they're different for every home, but they're so true. You know, I've had the beautiful example of my parents, but my husband's parents have been married nearly an equal amount of time. And so that we have both of our families giving us very different examples, because while they've both been married a very long time, the dynamics are different in both homes. There are definitely aspects of love, but they're lived out differently. And so he is living through the filter of his parents' marriage, and I am living through the filter of mine. And, you know, I think the women out there, we are all living through the filter of our parents' relationships, good, bad, or in between.
Yeah. Well, it's so true. And I want to get to an aspect of your book, Love Unending, where you identify 21 challenges to help women recapture the love and intimacy they at one time hopefully experienced with their husbands. And we can't cover the entire list, but let's just look at number one, which is greet lovingly.
Okay.
You have a story about that, which I thought was funny, that we're all going to connect with. And that was you kind of getting dressed up, I think, wanting to make an impression on Jared.
Right.
What happened?
So, you know, in the beginning, when we would watch for, you know, maybe our even just boyfriend or fiance to come pick us up for this date, we would get fancy, we'd do our hair, you know, we would have everything in place, and then we would sit and wait, you know, just waiting for them to show up. Or if anyone else is like me, you know, their poor boyfriend is waiting for them.
That didn't happen.
That never happens all the time.
You and Jean's sister? What's happening?
Probably. So, but we get ourselves ready, and then we watch with expectation. They're going to be here any minute. We're going to have the best time. I can't wait to see them again. And we want to connect with their hearts. And then we become parents, or just wives that have had time go on, and we're looking for their help. We want their help and not their heart. And I was thinking one day, you know, as I was looking at the difference between day one and day whatever it is now, how when I looked out the window for my husband to come, I would look holding a baby on my hip going, I can do this 5 more minutes. I can do this 10 more minutes. You know, I can do this. He's coming. He's going to be able to help me. And I think the way we expect and look for our husbands has changed, and they feel that. They know that we're not looking to just fall into their arms and love them and spend time together. It's, oh, hey, it's you. Right?
Maybe if you have that much time to even greet each other.
Sometimes we don't. Sometimes I'm scrubbing out a bottle at the kitchen sink, and I'm just like, I'm running bath water. The kid's not in it yet. If you can put them in and get this going, we can get bedtime going faster. You know, like, just jump in, buddy. And so this greeting from behind my back rather than this greeting of full embrace. But the truth is, how we welcome each other back into our space sets the tone for the rest of the time together.
Boy, it really does. But that's a hard thing to do, Becky. It's hard when you've been tugged at all day. All the things that you described, all of a sudden say, okay, we got to greet each other well. Did you do it consistently? Was it a mental thing where you had to really plan, okay, he's coming through the door, I've got baby food all over me.
Gross.
And my hair is sticky. I mean, really. And
you don't want to talk about else's what on.
Yeah.
You know?
Hi, honey. Big embrace.
Right. So the first time I did this, I met him outside of our house. The kids were playing, and I walked out the front door as he got out of his pickup and walked up the driveway. And I was like, I'm just so happy to see you. I've been thinking about you. I missed you. And he was like, what happened?
Yeah,
like,
what burned down?
Did you, you know, buy something that you should? Did you crash something? Did something broken? And is everything okay? And I think in that moment I realized how far we were removed from day one.
Wow. And I love that, all rooted in love first. Mm-hmm. That's a love first concept.
Exactly.
You know, greet each other with loving kindness.
But here's the thing. he responded on day two. It didn't even take but one day when I came back out that he said, you know, it was just this, I'm happy to see you too. And it was a conditioning of his heart that was changing.
Let me ask you this too. I love this actually. You say moms have a superpower for hearing things that are way beyond the human ear. Describe that.
So before I had children, I was a very heavy sleeper, but it seems like the moment I became pregnant almost, my body was just
alert.
My body was alert. Yeah. It was bringing out this sense of hearing. I remember hearing my dog chewing a bottle cap under the bed and thinking, what is that? I've got to find it. And I found him and helped him and, you know, saved my little dog's life. But when the baby came along, I could just hear everything. I could hear the baby rustling in his bed. I could hear, you know, that sort of breathing change. And it really is a superpower. We can hear the sound of the television turn on mute in the other room. You know,
yeah,
that
no sound is
no
a sound,
sound
as well.
Is still
like,
a sound.
Something's
right?
happening.
Something's happening. Our kids opening that bag of chips in the pantry or spilling that bag of chips in the hallway. But sound becomes so magnified in motherhood. We are always listening for potential danger. But the fault of this is that everything becomes so noisy that we almost need mental space. And so we learn to tune out unnecessary sounds. We learn to tune out the sounds that aren't vital to maintaining life in our home, right? We learn to tune out these other sounds. But the sad truth is sometimes my husband's voice is categorized under tune-outable sounds.
I was going to say, yeah, that, and that goes both ways.
I'm sure.
But
it does.
What would be an example of what you would tune out, or others that you've talked with? What do wives tune out? Because we normally talk about dads and husbands tuning out.
We just don't want to admit that we do it too. we just want to say that you guys do it. And, you know, are you listening to me? When the truth is, we're chopping those carrots and we have no idea what you just told us about work today. We are just hoping you don't ask us about it later.
You guys must cover well, because I've never seen it. So.
We're very good at it. We learn to highlight the words back to you so you think. But in sincerity, my husband would come home and he'd tell me about his day. And, you know, there was a time where he was an oil-filled pipeline welder. And that is where you dig large ditches and you lay natural gas pipelines that connect wells to other pipelines. I think, like I said,
no, that sounds like a lot of work.
This is my understanding of it, but he's the welder that connects the pipes. And he would explain what he was doing or what went wrong. And I would think, I'm never going to have to know this. Like, I'm going to need you to stop telling me all these details and expect me to repeat them. Can you just tell me generally if it was a good day or a bad day? But here's the thing. We want our husbands to share about their lives, but when they share about what's important, we don't have space to put it, right? We don't make space to contain what's going on with them. But tell me how you feel. I wish you were more vulnerable with your words.
That is, and it's the shoes on both feet on this one, man. Mm-hmm. Husbands can develop that expertise quite well as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems that over time what happens is we kind of build in a disincentive, if you will, mm-hmm. right? Because I can tell she's not listening, or she can tell he's not listening,
exactly.
And maybe the chatter becomes less and less. Exactly. How do we fight through that?
You know, I have to, on my end, I have to make space. Whenever my husband's trying to speak to me, I have to tune in intentionally. And this is what I would have done if we were dating, you know, when, in the beginning of our marriage, I would have said, you know, I would have.
Tell me about welding that crack.
Right.
Now you're like, what?
Exactly,
I love it.
Exactly.
That's such a great example.
Tell me about, how did that work? Tell me more about it. Oh, that's so interesting. And now I just don't have space to put it. So when my husband is sharing, I have to make the choice to tune in. With small children, that's not always possible. You know, they're demanding and you have to train them and teach them. When mommy and daddy are talking, you know, put your hand on us. We'll acknowledge that we hear you. And then we'll go into, when we have a minute, we'll respond. But we have to not just let the kids run the conversation in our home. And we can't wait until they're asleep. We have to connect during the day. And, you know, the truth is sometimes my husband's job doesn't allow him to connect in the middle of the day. But just reaching out to him and sending a text message and saying, I'm thinking of you, I'm hoping your day is going okay, and he can respond when he can, is actually the beginning of the conversation that's going to take place later in the day. I'm going to make space in my day for you to speak in whatever way you want and receive it the best that I can.
Becky, this has been great. Thank you for your passion to help women, in particular to be better wives and initiate the process to improve their marriages. We husbands, we don't escape here. We own a part of this responsibility too. So don't think you're off the hook. I do think one failing of men is that we can get a little too comfortable doing our own thing and just checking out in the house when we get home. There's a lot more we need to cover from your book next time, your book, Love Unending. Can you come back and share more of these great insights with us?
Absolutely. I'd be honored.
We hope you'll make plans now to listen to part two of our conversation with Becky Thompson. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller.
I'm sure there were other moms besides me nodding their heads and laughing at Becky's stories today. I could definitely identify with her, and I just loved how open and insightful she was. I've tried to adopt the welcome home philosophy. Sometimes successfully, other times I've failed, but I see the value in it. So why not give it a try, moms? In Becky's book, Love Unending, she says, those feelings we experienced in the first days of love and marriage often become buried beneath hurried life, active children, and mountains of bills and laundry. Maybe you've questioned and perhaps even worried if you'll ever again experience romance as you did in the beginning. Take the Love Unending 21-Day Challenge and discover the best way forward is to look back at the beginning. You'll find this fantastic resource at safamily.co.za or give us a call on 031-716-3300. We have just over a month until Christmas, and I'm sure you'll agree that it's the season that's all about celebrating God's blessings in our lives. Can I count on you to help us make a difference by giving your gift of family donation today? You can do so online at safamily.co.za. Every gift we receive will be used to impact marriages and support families through our ministry. If you need more information, call our office on 031-716-3300. Thanks for listening in today. I'm Alison Schnell for Focus on the Family Africa, inviting you back tomorrow for the conclusion of our program with Becky Thompson, when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.